following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. And this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And it is possibly the most glorious Saturday of the entire year. And I'm not referring to the fact that there's a football game, but that certainly is a nice coincidence.
There's a football game today?
Yeah, it's that other team, the one of the funny colors.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he sits here across from me with his Florida State t-shirt on. Just, I knew he'd do that today. You raise a kid the best you can, and then first chance they get, they turn on you. What can you say? I just hope the best team wins. For all you folks who are from in town, first off, if you are a regular listener, thanks for tuning in again today. We got a lot to talk about today. And if you're new, if you just stumble across it, if you're driving, anything like that, try to stick around for a while, and we hope you likewise will learn something. Tell your friends if you like it. For those of you out of town who are cruising around with your radios on, welcome to Jacksonville. And for all of the locals, I noticed it yesterday much more than this morning, but the streets are getting crowded. And a lot of the people out there don't know their way around this rather complicated city. Cut them a little slack today. You'll still get there, and everybody will be a lot happier. The crazy driving that we started to see yesterday is a precursor, so take it easy. If they're going a little slow, you'll get there. Just little words of wisdom from a guy who's lived a long time.
Good advice.
Yeah, I think so. Well, what an interesting week we have had between the politics and the money and the intersection of the two. But most of all, what an interesting month we've had. And for the synopsis of all of those things, I will defer, as I normally do, to the Seminole to my left.
So I guess this year just hadn't been strange enough.
Yeah, you got a point there.
So October rolls around, historically one of the most volatile months of the year, and we close it up 8.3% to 9.4%, depending on what index you look at.
So you're saying a month ago today, if somebody had asked you for a projection, that wouldn't have been it?
No, not even close. I never would have guessed that.
Nor I.
So most of the rise took place in the previous weeks, as this week the market really didn't move at all. It was kind of a boring week, to be honest.
Yesterday.
Yeah. We saw the Dow up 0.1%. The NASDAQ was the big winner, up 0.4%. So that tells you how much movement there was. At least we were able to hold on the gains from earlier this month. So historically, Monday starts the best 6 months of the year for the market, so we'll see if that holds true for this year. There's plenty of uncertainty out there that could make it go either way. I mean, it really, I have no idea what the rest of the year holds. Do you have a prediction?
Are
you
sure
with your
always have
up for the year?
Barely.
Okay.
And I'll explain more about that when you're done, too, because there's some codicils on that.
It was a really rough week in terms of economic data, with 25 of their readings coming in below expectations and only 7 beating expectations. The good news is that several of the reports that beat were in the industrial sector, which desperately needed them. So that's a positive sign. The other bright spot was that initial and continuing jobless claims continue to defy expectations and come in ahead of what economists are forecasting. The most interesting report, though, this week was the Q3 GDP report. As we reported last week, the expectation was 1.6% rate of growth, and it came in at 1.5.
Yeah, and guess what? What? Next revision, you're going to bet on up or down?
I will not.
I will bet on down.
Okay. So technically that's below expectations, but it's close enough that we'll call it within the margin of error. The good news is that the GDP number is close enough that, the consumer consumption was close enough and it came in line with expectations. So that's a really positive sign. You don't want to see consumer behavior dropping right before the Christmas holiday season. You need them out shopping to drive this economy.
Yeah, and there was a big headline this morning, consumer confidence unexpectedly drops. And a month ago today, there was a big headline that said, consumer confidence unexpectedly rises.
Mm-hmm.
So what have we accomplished for 2 months? Nothing.
Well, maybe they need to figure out the forecast a little bit better.
Maybe. Well, the level is fine.
As I explained last week, the drop from 3.9% growth we saw last quarter was a drawdown in manufacturing inventories, which happens every year in the third quarter. It was down. It accounted for 1.82% of the total decline. So that's something that happens every year in the third quarter. It's seasonal. It's not anything to worry about.
Yeah. Car factories turning over production models and things like that.
Yep. Next week, we have a really busy week of data. Most importantly, the employment situation report for the month of October, which I'm sure will be pitched as the most important ever.
Oh, of course. And I don't think it's going to be very good.
I don't know. I mean, all the jobs data has been pretty positive.
Yeah. There just aren't that many people working. I'm going to stick with that. I'm not really in the predicting business, but I'm not feeling like it's going to do anything that would open your eyes very far.
Earnings season continues to roll along with over 1,200 companies now reporting their results for the third quarter. The earnings beat rate is a solid 63%, but the top line sales growth continues to be a drag. Only 46.9% of companies beat on revenue, which is pretty poor.
Lack of customers. It goes on and on and on. You don't get customers until people are working. You don't get people working until you change your policies. And that was on display this week, which I will get to after our first break.
And on top of the revenue rate being low, more companies are lowering their forecasts moving forward than raising them. So that's a little bit of a concerning sign moving forward as well.
Yep.
The stock market doesn't seem too concerned with that at all, really.
But the market, this is what I was talking about right before the show. The market is really fickle. This has been the first year that I can remember in a long time where if you're a diversified investor, you are underperforming, quote, the market. Because we measure the market by the large cap American stock indices like the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ. And if you have picked the right stocks, there's been some Googles and things like that,
Apple.
You can be doing really, really well. But if you're well diversified, everything got hammered so much in the month of August that it's been hard to make it up. So if you look at things like Oakmark Equity Income down 6%, American Balance Fund down 3% on the year, it's going to take longer to catch up after that big beating we took. So, trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. I got a little thing to do on millennials today. How many millennials are feeling pretty comfortable with their own finances? Now, this number may sound disturbing when you get it, but it's actually kind of positive overall. So it's a case of expectations. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the millennials. We're going to talk about the politics. We're going to talk about everything in the world that you can think of. And I'll tell you how you can tell us what to talk about. Give us a call, 222-TALK.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results, and you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. This is Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And welcome back to everybody. If you new folks out there are interested in getting some questions answered, or if it's a routine person, our number and our lines are always open. I remind you, our number is 222-TALK. That's 222-8255, and the area code is 904. Which reminds me of one thing in particular right away. A couple weeks ago, a listener named Joan got our trivia question correct, and it's worth a $25 gift certificate to Publix, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. And we are guilty. We forgot to pick up Joan's address to mail it. Now, if you're listening, please call 222-TALK and leave your address again, and we'll send you that and our apologies.
And you can take a shot at today's trivia, too.
That is also true. So we might have to send you two of them. You never know. I do want to remind everybody that not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded. You have the luxury of sitting there listening to exactly what the host wants to say and nothing else. But if you want to control any of the content of this show, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call us at 222-TALK. We'll take any subject, literally any subject. The easy questions just make us look good. Nobody has any stupid questions out there. I will go through some of the various areas that you deal with. I'm not sure I'll get to it today. Might be later today. When you deal with a fee-only certified financial planner, we are a fee-only firm, and there are not many of them. You have to understand the difference. If you'd like to get a hold of us and see what we actually do in our day job, I'll let Adam tell you how.
The easiest way would be to find us online. We're at www.vanweefinancial.com. And on our website, you can actually book a meeting with us if you'd like to. And our first visit, first initial consultation is always free. You get an hour of our time for, and it will cost you nothing. We won't try and sell you anything. We are fee only. That means we actually can't sell you anything. And also on our website, you'll find our blog, which we talk about a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the radio, but we also do some extra features that are on there that we don't talk about on the radio. So lots of interesting stuff. The podcasts of this program are available on iTunes and on SoundCloud.com. And you can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/VanWeFinancial or Twitter at VanWeFinancial or email us at info@VanWeFinancial.com. And as always, you can call the office 685-1505 during normal business hours.
Okay. A warning. I guess a warning is a good word. Voters of St. John's County, I have exactly one more chance to tell you, go vote before November 3rd. We are being fed, at least they think so, a closeted sales effort to raise our sales tax in the county from 6% to 6.5% on the premise that we will get better schools, we will have a better economy, and we will have a brighter future. Well, guess what? Our schools are already the best in the state, and they're doing it despite the fact that every time they bring up the sales tax increase, we turn it down. Sarah and I have voted no, proudly, early. I don't take excuses. I want you to vote, and I want you to vote no. Or if you're firmly in favor of this, I even want you to vote yes. Although if you forget, it's okay with me too. Well, that's my last time that I will say that this round. Right now, we have John. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you today?
Wonderful. And you?
Good, thanks. Hey, I've been reading a lot about the high-yield bond funds and whether it's a CEF, a mutual fund, or a from Nuveen or whoever it may be, and that there might be some things happening in that area, you know, with a lot of the junk bonds and that are giving these high yields. Can you address that at all, or should we be concerned about this?
You should be concerned about one thing in particular. If you own one, say it's JNK or one of HYG, I believe is another one.
Yes.
And there are some actively managed funds, look in your index type funds like the JNK and see what's in Puerto Rico. If you have a high percentage of Puerto Rico, you're probably taking some undue risk, although my personal feeling is that Puerto Rico will come out of this okay. I don't think this administration is going to let them go under, but man, every time you try to predict these guys, you run the risk of being stupid. Anyway, check that out for sure.
Well, Puerto Rico's, they knew about that a long time ago, and that's done and over with, basically.
True.
But what I'm concerned about and what I've been reading about are all the, what may be in the future, the next Puerto Rico or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, I started Meredith Whitney, if you know who she is, she predicted the demise of a lot of these funds years ago at approximately the same time I did, because we think the same, apparently, that with all of the unemployment, municipalities are in danger of not having their tax collections be up to enough to cover what these bonds are. And I think there was especially some danger there. I think it's getting less and less in that the economies are perking up a little bit. But I don't follow this stuff as closely as Adam does. So I'm just going to let him espouse a little bit as to your question.
Well, there are a number of things to be wary of when you invest in high yield bonds or junk bonds, as some people call them. I don't like that term because it sounds really negative when in fact it's actually a pretty good investment tool. So the main thing is interest rates will affect them. If they go up, you're going to see some declines, especially in high yield bonds. And that's what I would predict, especially on your longer duration ones. And then as well as that, you have to look at the underlying fundamentals of the economy. So these companies are the ones that can't get the A ratings from the credit agencies. So by nature, they are a little bit riskier. When the economy is good and sales growth is strong and earnings are up, they're fine. But But if things start to falter, you're going to see a lot higher failure rate within those junk bond portfolios. And that's when I would get concerned about it. Right now, I feel pretty good about it. I own them personally inside of a fund, and we do invest in that for our clients on occasion. And I don't really have that much concern. But if I see things start to turn around in a more of a fashion, a major fashion than they are right now, then I would start to get very concerned. But definitely keep an eye on interest rates as well.
Do you own them now, John?
I do. I own some. And then, you know, the other thing is I do think they're great investments. I think you have to be aware of what's in them and so on and so forth and diligent from that standpoint. However, I was curious also, in addition to that, what else can a person do who's trying to, you know, achieve some income off of their investments? I mean, can you sell covered calls or puts and things like that on the portfolio that you own? Do you think that's fairly safe in this marketplace? Or
you better be experienced.
Yeah. Well, the covered calls, I think, are fairly safe.
Well, they're obviously the safest form of option because they're the only one that you're allowed to use inside an IRA.
Yeah, that's
sure.
True.
A question on the junk bonds, though. Are you using ETFs or actively managed funds?
I use ETFs and CEFs, so I guess, mm-hmm. You know, that would be an actively managed one.
Look at some of the better actively managed funds. We like the Federated High Yield Fund a lot.
I think it's FHYTX. Okay. It's got a very low duration, which is one of the reasons mm-hmm. we like it.
And if anybody, when you have an active manager in there, if they see trouble coming in one sector or in one company or whatever, they can quickly shift out of that and into something else. I think there are times, international funds being one, high yield funds being another one, where actively managed funds are probably right now preferable to the ETFs, even though the cost might be higher in there. I think you get it back.
But an answer to your other question, is there yield elsewhere? The answer is not really. I mean, it's hard to find right now.
Dividend stocks, convertible stocks, preferred stocks, stocks that are beaten up but have been paying a dividend. If you look at funds like the Dividend Achievers PowerShare, mm-hmm. made up only of companies that consistently over time not only pay a dividend but grow it.
What about some of the buy right funds?
I mean, are those the 120/20s? They have long and short in them. Or they buy it and write covered calls on them. There are various mm-hmm. options on those. I have no problem with those. Again, they're actively managed, so you're getting professionals. Right. The problem with normal, regular old people doing options is that you just got to be on it all the time.
It is so easy to make a mistake and lose big time if you don't know what you're doing.
But is it a good idea if you know what you're doing?
Absolutely.
Wonderful idea.
There is also another idea out there would be there is a Goldman Sachs Income Builder Fund, and it's one that I like. It has a yield of over 4%, and it's relatively stable value. I mean, it can vary in the mm-hmm. underlying holdings, but to get 4.5% or so in this market is pretty good these days.
Yeah, the hardest question we face nowadays is where can I get some yield on my investments?
It's tough.
It's just a bear these days, and they didn't do us any favors when they failed to increase the rate this past time. And it looks now, with the numbers that are coming in that are kind of weak in the economy, it looks to me like they're going to go into next year sometime.
Sure.
If they're going to achieve their stated goals of employment and low inflation, they do not need to do this. But if they're going to act like normal, rational people, they should do this. That's my opinion.
Right.
So you can kind of take that for what it's worth. Would you like a shot at the trivia? What percentage of millennials are actually feeling pretty comfortable about their finances?
25%.
Oh, that's so close, but a little low. A very good guess. Well, if you want to talk,
thank you, gentlemen.
If you ever want to talk more, if you want, thank you. If you want to talk more about it, call the office.
Yep. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's a really good question nowadays. Trying to get yield off of your savings nowadays, it's very, very difficult. And it involves, of necessity, when you're looking for more than the market interest rate, it involves risk. Risk and reward work together every time. I do want to talk a little bit about the dearly departed Mr. Boehner and what he shoved to the American public on his way out and how it's going to impact all of us. I'll tell you what I did with American Express just to tie him. I wrote him and said, I want my credit limit lifted for the next 2 years, and no matter how much I spend, when the 2 years is up, you can say, okay, your credit limit is up there now, so they can't ever call it back. That's what he did, but he did it to all of us at the federal level, and it's going to cost us and our children and our grandchildren forever. Couldn't have just walked out the back, huh? Don't go away. 222-TALK, 8255. We'll be back right after the break.
News, traffic, and weather. Updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 and FM 100.3. WBOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Egypt says that investigators have arrived now at the site of the northern Sinai area where a Russian passenger plane went down today. Egyptian security force has been battling an Islamic insurgency there for years. No telling if that played any role in this disaster, which claimed 224 lives. Another round of storms and strong winds are moving across East Texas this morning in the Houston area. An official says a tornado has been reported in southern Harris County, and officials are checking for any possible damage. Emergency officials say 4 to 7 inches of rain has fallen since last night. Crews have made more than 24 water rescues as well. A human rights lawyer says newly freed Guantanamo Bay prisoner Shakir Amer wants an independent inquiry to examine whether British officials played a role in his treatment. Clive Stafford Smith telling the BBC that Amer wants, quote, the whole world to know what happened to him. This is SRN News.
It's that time of year again. Just wanted to give you a friendly reminder. This is the weekend that we turn our clocks back. Saturday night, when your clock hits 2 a.m., make sure you move your clock back to 1 a.m. Just a friendly reminder for you. From News Talk, AM 600 and FM 100.3, WBOB. So by now, I certainly hope you got the message. You're welcome.
For 10 spooktacular nights, for the few who dare, the Jacksonville Jaycees open the gates to the Trail of Terror beginning Friday, October 9th through Halloween night. For the first time in a decade, you'll take the Trek of Terror through the creepiest Trail of the Unexpected. Many, many years ago, the natives demanded the Trail of Terror be closed forevermore. Recently, the doors have begun to creak and squeak. The locals residing near the Jacksonville Zoo have reported hearing unearthly noises coming from the grounds of paintball adventurers each evening as the moon climbs ever higher. Are you willing to test the Trail of Terror? Tickets are frighteningly affordable, with all proceeds going to support local organizations. Pre-sale tickets start at only $12. Visit jacksterror.com for all of the scare-alicious details. The Trail of Terror will be lurking for you.
WBOB traffic and weather.
Well, starting to see some action over to Beach Boulevard eastbound at St. John's Bluff Road. Another crash, Atlantic Boulevard eastbound at Hodges Boulevard. And please drive carefully and get a lot of traffic out there today. As for the weather, mostly sunny, looking for highs 82, both partly cloudy tonight, lows of 68 degrees. Nice out there, 78 degrees, mostly clear. And News Talk AM 600, FM 100.3, WBOB.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And without further ado, we always have the people on the line go to the head of the class. Good morning, Deb.
Hey, good morning, Steve. I think I've got an answer for the question. I'm Berkshire shareholder, and we just read earlier this month that 28% of the millennials feel good about their financial future and current position.
Well, you are not only very observant, but also probably a very astute investor if you've held on to Berkshire for a long time.
Yeah, I'm glad they came out with the B's, too.
Yeah. No kidding. Who can afford the A's anymore? What are they, over $200,000? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, but on a good day, you can really make a lot of money.
Yeah, true.
You got to have it, though.
They haven't had the best year, though.
No, but you know, the economy's like that. It's in bits and pieces, and he's big in transportation for one, and it's been hammered pretty badly. That doesn't mean it will be next year. Buy and hold's a wonderful option. Buying Berkshire is basically buying a really well-run mutual fund.
Yeah, diversified portfolio. Yeah.
So you can't really go too far wrong. If it needed changing, I'm sure it'd change it. So I hope you're happy with it. All right, anything else we can talk about today?
Did I get the question right?
You certainly did.
You did.
You nailed it.
Excellent.
Absolutely. All right, in that case, I will put you on hold, and John will get your address, and we'll take care of it.
Thanks, Steve. Adam, appreciate your show.
Well, right. thank you so much for listening.
And I promise we will actually send you that card, unlike Joan. I hope she does call in
yes,
soon.
Yes, and I don't think we can say it often enough. Joan, if you're listening, please give us your address again. I don't want to be made to look like someone who doesn't care about those things, because I do. Well, I mentioned that Boehner and Company stuck it to us all right before we walked out the door with a two-year budget deal that is probably the height of irresponsibility in elected officials. They will take any easy way out of a spending situation, and it seems like they're always in an election season. So what happened was, it's going to impact people. I wouldn't care, except it's going to impact people. You know, I'm not going to sit here and talk politics for politics' sake. I talk politics for the sake of money, which is why Wednesday evening's debacle was just so hard to watch, but I digress. So the things that are going to happen will affect, for one thing, my favorite group of people, having just joined you all, Social Security recipients. There are some changes in this budget that are going to impact some things about Social Security, and Adam has a few of those things, and there are some ways to deal with this. You have a little bit of time if any of these is going to fit. Now, I will say there's one good thing in it, and if he doesn't cover it, I will. But right now, take it away and let us know what happened in this thing.
Yeah, so if it wasn't bad enough that last week or so we found out that you're not going to get an increase in your Social Security this year, thank you, government, for lying about inflation.
Yeah.
But this week we found out that they are actually ending something that was started in the year 2000 under the Senior Citizens Freedom to Work Act, and it eliminated the earnings testing for those who reach full retirement age and allowed those receiving benefits at full retirement age to
suspend. And by the way, look, usually when I say thank you, Bill Clinton, I'm being facetious.
No,
but in this case, thank you, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it really was.
That was a really great law.
It helped people who are collecting Social Security be able to make more money,
yep.
And it overall a really great thing that he did. The other thing it did was it allowed people to receive benefits at full retirement age and then suspend and continue to earn their delayed retirement credits, which accrue at about 8% a year. So that was really nice for those of us who are of that age. But there was a big but. As usually happens when the government does anything, there was unintended consequences of that legislation.
No, sure, and they never just give.
So a new strategy emerged for couples to claim Social Security, which allowed both spouses to file at full retirement age and then suspend benefits. Then one spouse could begin accruing their marital benefit, which is half of the other person's benefit of full retirement age. So
it does not penalize their own.
Right.
Nor does it stop the 8% compounded growth.
So they could both grow theirs at 8% and not receive it, but then get the half from the spousal benefit. And you can't both get a spousal benefit, but one of you can.
It's called maximization.
So this became a really popular strategy, as it should have, and so much so that it was quote-unquote costing the Social Security Administration an estimated $9.5 billion per year. So if you're wondering why the government decided to address this, there's your answer. It always goes back to the money. Of course, then there's more to that story, though. The strategy was used more by upper-income Social Security applicants, and therefore it was labeled as a loophole that benefited only the rich, which is absolutely untrue. Everybody is able to use that strategy. just because upper income earners were using it more doesn't mean that it wasn't available to lower income earners. So to call it a loophole, for one, is not true, because it's the law. And then to say that it only benefited the rich is just ridiculous.
It never ceases to surprise people when I tell them that I think the Social Security system is one of the best designed systems ever. And it really is. It takes into account lifestyle things, age similarities, age differences. They have rules to cover almost any circumstance that don't punish people for the lifestyle they have chosen. For instance, the stay-at-home mothers, the people who have opted for lower-paying jobs like educators, they do not get punished badly under this system. Now, this was one of the reasons why, and they took it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not be able to make this claim much longer.
Right. So they ended that benefit, they are about to, I guess, end that benefit. You can no longer do the file and suspend strategy. So that takes that off the table, and you're back to your regular strategies, I guess you'd call them. And so, yeah, it's kind of disappointing. Now, to be fair and balanced, did the law need to be changed? Probably. The Social Security system, as we know it, is pretty much unsustainable, and it needs to be modified if people my age and younger ever want to see a benefit from it. So my only problem with how they did it is that they turned it into a class warfare thing like they do every time and sold it as something that only the rich do, when it's just not true. So why don't they sell it as step one in a long-term plan to keep Social Security solvent? Then I'd buy into it.
No, for the simple reason that when a discussion takes place in Congress about Social Security, everybody who tries to fix it gets unelected the next round.
That's true.
So the third rail is alive and well and fully energized.
Look what happened when Bush tried to do the private plan. Ooh, he got absolutely hammered.
One that went away last time was the ability for you to pay back the benefits you've accrued so far 100% with no interest or tax, and restart at the 8% a year higher level. Well, that now, as of about 2010, I think, is down to 1 year. So in your first 12 months of filing, you can pay it back. You will get that extra 8%, or if it's a full year, or proportionate amount thereof, and you can restart it immediately or later.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say somebody went out at 62 thinking, hey, I'm going to retire. So by the age of 63, they decide, no, I'm going back to work. Your filing age is forever at 62 unless you just pay it all back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we actually did this, Sarah did it in our house. So we can send it all back and either turn it on as a 63-year-old or wait till you're 65, 6, 70, whatever you wanted to do. Never wait beyond 70 because that benefit doesn't accrue anymore. But that went down to one time in your life in the first 12 months. There's another thing that happened in this law that is regarding Medicare. Medicare was about to get about a 52% cost increase for people who were not currently collecting, which meant about a third of Social Security recipients are going to get a big old increase in their Medicare payments. They corrected that, and to me, that's a mixed bag. They're going to print the money to have corrected it, but would it really have been fair to the people who had not filed yet? So a lot of people, like me, one of the reasons I filed a little early was to try to keep that from happening to me. Well, now I have the option of paying it back or whatever, or just staying with it. It was probably a good thing that they didn't discriminate against the 30% or so, but it still bothers me that in a system that's dying a slow and painful financial death, they have now robbed Peter to pay Paul once again without dealing with the actual problem. Nowhere in this budget deal was there an increase in benefit age, anything like that. So the system is not horribly better off than it used to be. Maybe marginally with the changes that Adam was talking about, but it does not handle the problem. All right, before we go on break, a special thanks to Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Things in Florida grow like crazy, as you all know. Call Troy at 662-9794 for any of your landscaping needs. We are going to take the last break of the day, and then we're going to come back, and we've got a lot more to talk about, so do not go anywhere.
Yeah. Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the final segment, Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we've been talking a little bit about this budget deal, and I do have quotations in there if you can't hear them. A couple of things that happened. Pensioners, you are now more expensive to your former employers. The PBGC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, is raising its premiums. It's probably not going to affect many people in that.
There aren't that many people with pensions anymore.
Adam and I were talking about this in the break. If you've got a pension now from a viable entity, either a tax collecting entity or a great company, or better yet, a railroad retirement,
I've always said
there's only two kinds of people in this country, railroad retirees and those that wish they were.
And that won't be true going forward, though.
No, it won't. So we talked about the freeze in Medicare premiums. There are a few other little things that they're trying hard to save the Social Security disability system from bankruptcy, which is imminent, somewhere between a year and two. And that's what some of the stuff is about. But as Adam said, why don't they just develop a comprehensive plan to do these things and then one piece at a time tell the people? 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan and the Congress got together and they told me, a very young guy, that I would have to wait an extra year to get full Social Security. And I heard and understood and never gave it another thought. Big deal. You gave me 30 years to adjust one. Adam's 38.
Just
really close. Anyway, he would be absolutely happy if we told him that he's got 30 years to plan to have to take it a year or two later. Because right now, Adam and his generation and the generations that come after, they're not expecting any. They know they're going to pay their whole lives. They expect nothing. How about if we could extend this little process to certifying and guaranteeing them that all they're doing, all their lives, will go toward a reward for them rather than a reward for their parents? We've gone from 30 people working to one collecting, down to three. It's going to two. Now, if I'm taking out whatever dollars, and I know that there are just two people working to pay that for me, how the heck are they investing their money? I'm pretty expensive, and there's 10,000 to 12,000 of us every day getting to this age. This system is in dire straits, people, absolutely dire straits, and it's fixable. It's an accounting change coupled with some information to people that it's not always going to be like it is right now.
Yeah, and if it tells you anything, for anyone under 50, I'm very hesitant to include any Social Security in their financial plan. I just don't trust the system as it stands right now. I don't use it on my own personal financial plan. I don't count on it. And that's how I've been raised. And I think it's just the right thing to do, knowing the shape that the system's in today.
I detest breach of contract situations. And in fact, we'll probably talk a little bit about the Jacksonville pension situation. Adam came up with some information yesterday, but we both want to study it some more. It's not pretty, folks. Not pretty at all.
No, just to give you a sneak preview, though, the headline of the article is Pension Auditor Scorches Jacksonville Fund as Mismanaged, Gives It a D-, Calls for an Investigation.
Yeah, and all you people out there collecting and all the people who are still working to whom we have made promises, this needs to be solved.
And it's a well-known problem. I saw the new mayor speak a while back, and that was the first thing that he addressed in his speech was the big problem with our pension. So this is not a secret.
Okay. Well, you know what tomorrow is?
Sunday.
And?
Day off for the Jags.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we won't lose this week.
That's right.
Hey, speaking of which, off the record a little bit, that's a pretty good game over in England, wasn't it?
Yeah, we tried our best to lose it.
We did.
Way to go,
we
guys.
Failed.
For not doing it.
Failed to lose. In other words, won. It was a lot of fun, though. I enjoyed the game a lot.
Definitely.
And they actually used that funny pointed football over there. I think all the people were scratching their heads wondering what was going on.
It was also pretty fun to roll out of bed, make breakfast, and watch football.
And turn on the Jags. You're right. It's a very interesting difference of 5 hours, I guess it was. Anyway, tomorrow's also November 1, which means open enrollment.
Right.
So those of you who were born the year I was or the year after, so now we've just hit that magic Medicare thing. How many of you know that if you don't sign up for Medicare in the first year, when you do sign up, it's going to cost you more for the rest of your life? I see no reason why you shouldn't listen to that and say, okay, I think I'll just sign up. Obamacare enrollment starts again tomorrow. The penalties are going up January 1. The premiums are going up. They won't even tell us how much. There are various estimates, and they're going to vary state by state. They won't tell us right now just how much they're going up. I will try to be on over the weekend starting tomorrow when these exchanges come in, and I'll be looking for it to see how much. I think you can safely say that one of the biggest problems that the millennials right now that I still want to talk about, I think one of the biggest problems they're going to have over the course of their lives is finding affordable health care. They are said, I guess, to be in a better position than we were because of the Obamacare in order to get it. My problem is I don't think that many people are going to be able to afford it.
I think that's a fair assessment. And in one way, they are correct because there's no longer such thing as being uninsurable, which is good. But Yeah, unaffordable.
We solved absolutely a couple of little problems with a $1 trillion solution that had unintended consequences on almost every other aspect.
As I mentioned earlier, the government doesn't do anything that doesn't have unintended consequences.
No, and it's the numbers out there, folks. When you get into the numbers on these things, if it doesn't scare you, you're not paying attention. And I'm not saying that just because it's Halloween. I mean, you should be scared of these things. Vote very carefully this year, please. All right, millennials, who are they? They are defined by at least one study as being born between 1982 and 2004. There are a couple of fellows named Strauss and Howe who wrote a book that I just love this title, The History of America's Future.
Nice.
And it's a look at the various generations before they actually grew up. Well, that's why I asked the question today. 28% of them are feeling pretty comfortable with their finances. That's huge, people. But it's awful. It's huge only by comparison to what people expect. But it's awful. It's not going to get easy for these people because a lot of them started out their working lives in the recession. And it actually costs you about 9% of lifetime earnings to start in a time when wages are low. Isn't that strange?
That hurts over your career.
And you know that the millennial generation, your generation both, Adam's an X, I guess, they have normally changed jobs in order to get wage increases, salary increases.
Well, that's kind of the norm nowadays for people of every age. If you really want to get a bump, you've got to move around.
That's right. But in this economy, that's starting to slow down now, and you're seeing a definite lack of that kind of turnover. So it's going to be harder and harder for wages to go up, and you've seen it in the statistics that average household income is falling. The millennials are in a group that say 59% of them want to save more, but only 31% actually did. I guess my lesson there is kind of twofold. They're doing better than a lot of us would have expected, but I think they're butting up against a headwind.
I think that's fair.
Reasonable. With some other statistics about them, they've been shaped by technology. I think that's a pretty obvious thing. In fact, some of their necks have been shaped by technology. They value community, family, and creativity in their work. Surprisingly, they're living closer and closer to home. Surprisingly, there's some of them living too close to home.
Like a lot of them.
Inside the walls.
Yep.
They have much more invested in human capital than previous generations, meaning college has been a big deal. They're going into better paying fields in college, such as science and social sciences and applied sciences fields. There's more on this for next week, but the music's playing. Hope your team wins today. As I said earlier, please be careful on the roadway and give some right away to some of these people from out of town. If you all get there 2 minutes later and get there safely, we'll all be a lot better off. Adam and I will be back as always next week. Anything you care to talk about by then, start writing your questions down. Send us an email if you need to. But it's time for us to get out of here. We'll see you next week, same time, same station.
The best thing about this audience